KCMO Talk Radio 710. And now 103.7 FM.
He's the ACLU's worst nightmare because he knows the Constitution and fights to keep them from making confetti of it. He's Chris Kobach, and this is the Chris Kobach Show.
Welcome back to the Chris Kobach Show here on KCMO Talk Radio 710 with the numbers 576-7710, 576-7710. We're talking about the Friday report by the intelligence, by the various intelligence agencies, confirming their belief that the Russians were attempting to have some influence on the, I don't even want to say the election. Well, I guess they want to influence the election, but they didn't affect the election machinery, but they managed to hack some emails of people involved in elections, which is not a very difficult thing to do. And the question is, did it have any effect on the election outcome? Kellyanne Conway for the Trump administration says no. I don't think so. I don't think any people thought that the inside baseball email, which was somewhat embarrassing to some people in the DNC, moved many votes, if any votes, for Donald Trump or against Hillary Clinton. At least that's my opinion. So what do you think? 576-7710 is the number. 576-7710. Let's go back to the phones. Next up, Craig in Prairie Village. Hey, Craig, how you doing?
Oh, good this evening. Chris, and yourself?
Yeah, very good. Very good. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, good talking to you. I've got quite a bit of comment on this hacking, quote-unquote,
yeah,
by the Russians. And first of all, the Democrats really have wonderful wordsmiths. They set the agenda by the way they talk about things.
So yeah.
The Republicans just follow along,
yeah,
and try and respond to their false statements.
Right.
Now, I'm tired of it. And I hope Trump finds a wordsmith or someone that can put in proper contents and with short, concise sentences, turn this around where he's setting the agenda, not responding to the Democratic agenda.
You know, I think if any president, if any Republican president can do it, it's Trump. I mean, you can tell he speaks from the gut. He speaks in ways that the common person can understand, and he has a personal distaste for political correctness that I certainly share. So
he reminds me of my grandfather. My grandfather wouldn't take any guff.
Yeah,
I don't think Trump will either.
Yeah, you know? And I will say this too. You know, the one of the people that's on his team and has been one of his, well, he has been his primary speechwriter is a guy by the name of Stephen Miller, who used to work on the staff of Senator Jeff Sessions. And Miller's brilliant and has written some brilliant speeches for Trump. I think, you know, the speeches, in addition to the offhand comments and the remarks at press conferences, are going to be speeches that don't adopt the biased language of the left and try to speak clearly to the American people.
Yes, and now I want to go further on this Russian hacking. The term today is fake news.
Yeah.
In Saul Alinsky's time, it was the big lie.
Mm-hmm.
And the big lie and the fake news are identical. The Democratic Party is using Saul Alinsky tactics with the general mainstream
media. Gotcha, yeah.
Yeah. Being their co-conspirators in this thing. And I think that needs to be pushed more, that this is just a basically a communist tactic, even if they would use that word, which they probably won't because it would be political correct. And I think that's part of the problem where we're at today is everyone wants to be politically correct and doesn't want to be called a racist, don't want to be called this, don't want to be called that. Trump tends to have the attitude, I'm going to say what I think.
Yeah.
And I hope that he maintains that.
I do too.
But yeah, it's something that I and again, Trump was not my number one choice, but I do believe he was not my last choice by any means either. I do believe that he needs to maintain what he started. He started with a bang, and I just hope that 6 months there's still a bang going on.
Yeah, I think there will be. I mean, you know, based on his picks so far for the cabinet, you know, we're going to see a huge bang when the name is released of the his Supreme Court nominee. That's going to be a, you know, just that alone will be a huge achievement for this country. I think I'm really optimistic. Obviously, I've been a Trump supporter for a long time, but I'm very optimistic that we're going to see our country turn around.
I'd like to go off topic a little bit, but
sure.
It does relate to it.
Go ahead.
And that's the fact of what Obama's doing in the last 30 days here.
Oh, I know.
He reminds me of where he came from, south side of Chicago, community organizer. What's their job? To go in and stir the pile, get all the crap going, and then walk away and let the citizens reap the rewards and the havoc and the deaths and the poverty that he stirred, you know. And he's done that in the Middle East. He's trying to do it with Russia. He's just going left and right, stirring stuff so that when he moves out of the White House and into his rental house, that he can be there in Washington, D.C., constantly undermining the new president.
You know, you've given me an idea of what I'll probably talk about next week, and that is you're talking about, you know, stirring and meddling in a broader sense, but I tell you, Obama's bureaucrats in the various agencies have been really setting some traps, doing a lot of mischief, trying to put barriers in the way of the Trump administration, and I'll talk about that probably next week as we in the final show before the baton is passed.
But yeah, I think that would be beneficial, but I do think that people need to realize that the tactics being used to the general population is nothing but communist big lie. And most people are too busy living their lives to understand, like you were presenting facts, how they couldn't hack our voting system. They don't care about facts.
Yeah.
They just put out enough to put the suspicion and doubt to try and make Trump an illegal.
To decrease his legitimacy. Yeah, they're trying
that's exactly right.
Yeah, they're
right.
Trying to create the illusion that the election was stolen. Look, Trump won it fair and square, and he won it by appealing to working Americans, to conservative Americans, to patriotic Americans, to all kinds of Americans as Americans. He didn't appeal to people by their skin color or by their sexual orientation or by any other subdivision. He said, hey, we as Americans believe this. I think that is a ridiculous way that this country's been going, and we're going to change it. And thank goodness it worked.
I could make the case that if Putin wanted anybody to be president, it'd be Hillary Clinton. Because look what he's accomplished under Obama and her as Secretary of State.
Yeah,
he's trying to revitalize the old Soviet Union. Every time they draw a red line or say, well, I'm going to get tough verbally, and John Kerry's just as bad, and he gets whatever the hell he wants. He knows that Hillary and Obama aren't going to do a damn thing to him. He has no fear or respect of the United States. And with Trump, by what Trump said during the campaign, he knew at the very least he wasn't going to automatically get his way, you know.
Yeah.
I think there's a little fear that, okay, he knows.
Do you think any foreign leader feared Barack Obama? And there needs to be a little bit of fear, because that fear helps build respect for the United States. I don't think any foreign leader feared that Barack Obama would do anything to anyone.
I think Obama
for harming the United States.
I think Obama, when he went overseas, and even in this country, but especially when he went overseas, he was like campaigning to be the next general, whatever the United Nations deal.
General Secretary, yeah.
Yes, Secretary.
Well, let's remember, Obama's first or second trip was the Grand Apology Tour of 2009. Go out and apologize for America to the world. How that didn't start us off very very well, did it?
No, I think there's such a big deal to make it. Putin would have rather had Hillary, but the other thing on, where did WikiLeaks get this? It could have been from a disgruntled Bernie Sanders person inside the DNC. The fact that Podesta was hacked, I mean, I mean, that's such a naive way to be hacked. And so, you know, he's supposed to be smart and whatever. I just think that I think they might even know who gave the who hacked Podesta's, and maybe even the DNC. But it's an insider. It's not outside. It could be outside. Maybe it was outside and inside. But I just think that that's not important, because the facts don't show that Russia did it. But they're acting like they have the facts, and they term it hacking.
Yeah, well, and all we know, if the intelligence agencies are correct in their assessment, is that Russia tried to have some, make some waves, have some influence in some way, but the agencies aren't even sure that they were Russia necessarily. They actually disagree in their reports a little bit on how certain they are that Russia was necessarily trying to harm Clinton and help Trump. But at any rate, it didn't have any effect.
During the election, they came out with it. The Russians didn't hack it. Now they're going back and saying all these people say that they did hack it. Now, I mean, what comes out of the federal government today, you got to throw 90% of it out the window. There's no way you can believe political releases, economic, any of it. It's just such a lack of faith in the.
Well, hopefully that'll change under a Trump administration. I'm confident that at least in some agencies there will be some improvement and some truth telling.
I'll close with this. The big lie is fake news. Period. Okay. Good evening, Chris.
All right. Take care, Craig. All right, let's take a quick break, folks. If you're hanging on, keep hanging on. We'll come back. We'll come to you after the break. If you want to join the discussion, 576-7710 is the number. You are listening to The Chris Kobach Show on KCMO Talk Radio 710. Welcome back to The Chris Kobach Show here on KCMO Talk Radio 710, where the number is 576-7710. All right, if you're just joining us, we're talking about the report on Friday by the intelligence agencies indicating that the Russians were trying to do something as far as affecting our election, but all we know that they accomplished was maybe it was them. We don't even know it was for sure if it was them, but the DNC emails were released. I don't think it had any effect on the election. It was inside baseball. Nothing really all that damage. I don't think nothing damaging to Hillary against Trump in any respect. It showed that the DNC was pushing for Hillary, or some people in the DNC were pushing for Hillary rather than Bernie. But that's about it. What do you think? 576-7710. Let's go next to Scott. Scott, you're on with Chris Kobach. What do you think?
Yes. Hey, Chris. I got in a little late, so I don't want to regurgitate something that already has been spoken about. But
that's all right. We can rehash. Go ahead.
Okay. Let's go through the talking points real quick. Okay. So the media is doing this and working with the DNC to discredit Trump, doing this rocking bullwinkle. The Russians did it. Shtick. On the right, their said talking point is, okay, well, somebody, Julian Assange, is doing the job that the news media should have done. All right, there's another talking point. One that I was wondering if you'd covered here on this show tonight, and I haven't had a chance to research it much. I would have liked to have. My time's pretty limited. Is what's the saying? What's good for this? What sauce is for the gooses? Soup for the gander, or something like that. Anyhow, didn't Obama himself send out Val Jarrett, the good little Iranian, and a bunch of people to Israel? Now, they did it out in the open to influence that election against Netanyahu for a more pro-Islamic government to win inside Israel. Isn't that kind of meddling in somebody's election? Maybe it was out in the open, but still it's meddling.
Well, you know, that's an interesting point. I don't remember the specifics of that, but let's not forget that Obama was trying to affect the Brexit vote, saying, here's how I think you should vote.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, that's right.
I mean, he was telling Britons how they should vote. So that's certainly trying to influence. So you tell me, what's more influential, the foreign leader? Let's say Putin had done that. What would Putin have? How would Putin have affected more votes if he had come out and said, "I, the Russian president, am telling the American people that American-Russian relations will be better for X, Y, and Z reasons," and I think Donald Trump would be a better president. Let's just say he said that. He would probably have moved more votes. doing that than if some emails from some, inner party person at the DNC, John Podesta, were released and they were show some inside baseball things that most people are not paying attention to.
Yeah, some more of Shadow in the Night clandestine stuff.
Well, and it's just stuff people don't care about. I don't think many people are all that interested in the emails that were released.
Yeah, but so I just think it's more whining. So on another subject, one thing I do here is I kind of report to you what the local grist around the mill is saying about you.
Oh, well, please do, because, I can't keep up with all the lefties and all the things they say.
Well, the pickup paper, the Pitch in the Trash Weekly, they had a caricature of you.
Did they?
Yeah, and I've got it around, and my wife moved it. I don't know what she did with it. I don't know if I
have the minute to spare to go to their website and see what it is. But anyway,
okay.
They did a caricature, huh? So what was their attack?
Well, that and they've now got the cast out of the Star gal Barb Shelley working there now.
Really? She's working at the Pitch now. I didn't know that.
the Star pitcher and the Pitch caught her. So anyhow, so she has some legitimacy. Anyhow, the slant that they're throwing out is that eventually you can't be confirmed by Congress or Senate for an appointment, but you'll be appointed as a kind of a apparatchik czar commandant of illegal alien Blade Runner kind of.
Well, that's not
that
even
then the
reporters at the Pitch are just as lazy as ever, because that article was written by, that theory was thrown out there by someone else in some other paper. I can't even remember who. But that's not even original reporting or original thought. So that's the other thing about journalists today is they are so lazy. And this is true across the – well, not every journalist, but there are so many journalists who just – they pick up something that someone else wrote, they put it in their own words, and then they regurgitate it as their own story. And it's just so pathetic. And you can see it. I can see it because I will – I'll have a discussion with a reporter. The reporter will write something and spin it a certain way. And then I'll see the same story, in slightly different words, appearing under somebody else's name in some other paper. And I'll think, these people are so lazy. They just let one person do the work and then other people copy off of them. And so anyway, that appears to be what's happening over at the esteemed Pitch as well.
Yeah, and also they're kind of batting around whether you're actually going to leave Kansas, that you may want to be governor. And some people say, well, that's not it. And others are saying, well, he's wanting something else. He won't be in the Trump administration because you're – I said it before. They keep saying it, so I'll say it again, that you're too much of a glory seeker. Be on Fox News too much or something like that.
If they only knew the number of TV interviews that I decline every week, they'd swallow that accusation. Amazing. It's funny that I hear that one from the lefties. Oh, well, he's on TV all the time. He must be seeking to promote himself. No, I'm. People are calling me saying, "Would you give us an opinion?" And I'm saying, in many cases, no, I don't have time, not interested. And in some cases, yes, okay, I guess I will. Like, I have time to do it that day. It's ridiculous, but you know.
Yeah, and in the Pitch, they called you what I kind of thought Steve Rose thought of you, which was, and they spelled it out in words, a Joe McCarthy.
Oh, dear. Joe McCarthy.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
yeah, because, ISIS really isn't a threat, and illegal immigration really isn't bad for this country. So the things that I have been speaking out against of late really aren't problems. So I guess I'm a Joe McCarthy. It's all just shadows in the night. Oh, well.
Yeah.
More nonsense from the left. Well, I appreciate the heads up, Scott. We're
sure,
we're out of time for this segment. Thanks so much for
Take
calling.
Care.
All right, you too. Folks, we'll be right back. You're listening to the Chris Kobach Show here on KCMO Talk Radio 710. Welcome back to the Chris Kobach Show here on KCMO Talk Radio 710. Okay, turning the page now. And the number, by the way, is the same. 576-7710 to call the Chris Kobach Show here on KCMO. And you can also switch over to FM, to the FM dial if you're not there already. 103.7 to hear the show in FM. Turning the page. Another big story. Very recent headline. I'm looking at the date this happened. But it's the terror attack in Jerusalem. I believe it was yesterday. Yeah, well, actually Sunday. So today, but however many hours ago in Jerusalem. This attack, so this Palestinian terrorist who may be linked to ISIS used what to kill a group of Israelis, specifically Israeli soldiers in Jerusalem? He used a truck, and he plowed into them. He killed four young people in their 20s, three women and one man, and wounded 15 other people, including backing over the victims. And then how was he stopped? He was stopped by being shot dead by a good guy. So what does this tell us? I think it tells us a number of things. One is that the terrorists are increasingly using vehicles, trucks, to achieve their objectives. And not just trucks, because let's remember that Abdul Raza Ali Artan, forget who he was, he's the Somali refugee student at Ohio State. Yeah, refugee, you heard me right. Used the refugee program to get into the United States and then murder Americans or attempt to murder Americans. He used a vehicle too. And then he got out of his car and started stabbing at people with a knife. But here we see again terrorists using a truck. And this, of course, the deadliest one would be the Nice truck attack that killed, more than 80 people plowing down the crowded streets in Nice this past summer with a semi. So we see a pattern here of the terrorists just using trucks. And one of the things about trucks is they are really easy to get. And if you're talking about smaller vehicles, they're even easier to get. And they are very deadly. Now, you don't hear the left saying, well, we need a campaign to ban all trucks now, do we? But isn't it interesting that that's their approach whenever, not necessarily a terrorist, but any murderer uses a gun? They say, well, we need to ban guns. But what they don't see the similarity here, and that is that guns and trucks are tools. Tools that have many useful good purposes, but can be turned to evil. But a little bit more about these trucks. So I was looking at this and thinking, wow, there seems to be a trend here. Well, there's a lot of things that don't get reported in the American media. And did you know this? And Fox News deserves a kudos for doing the research on this statistic. Since 2015, there have been 50 other attacks. This is the 51st truck terrorist attack in Israel since 2015. The terrorists over in Israel have been doing this for a long time. We're just starting to see it in the United States and France and you know, Western Europe and North America. But this is what the terrorists are doing. They'll kill innocent Westerners any way they can, and they are increasingly discovering that just mowing people down with vehicles is an effective way to kill people. Scary stuff. But another interesting point here, though, what stopped the truck? What stopped the truck was a bullet successfully striking the driver. And it was a bullet from a good guy. We don't know exactly who. I've been looking to see if there's any. And there were multiple good guys trying to kill the driver of this vehicle. But, you know, it goes back to what I've said many times before. If you do have a terrorist in a nightclub in Orlando, a terrorist behind the vehicle behind the wheel of a vehicle at Ohio State, a terrorist in any situation, you want good guys there with guns because guns will stop the bad guy. And in a concealed carry situation, where you have multiple good guys that can assist law enforcement, there's a better chance of stopping the terrorist than if all of the victims are unarmed. Just my two cents. So what do you think about this? Vehicular attacks by terrorists. Do you think we'll see more? I do. I do, and I think it's terrifying, actually. Terrifying in a... which is, of course, what the terrorists intend to achieve, but terrifying in the sense that we are surrounded by vehicles all the time, and we walk across streets and we drive around, assuming that everybody else behind the vehicle, behind the wheel of the other vehicles, is just another person like us going about their business and not a terrorist. Can you imagine if you were to visit Nice now and walk down those streets, or if you're walking in Israel and along a busy street, thinking that, okay, now the terrorists are using those vehicles as terrorist implements? Scary stuff. And if you think about it, there are the ways of, because vehicles are so pervasive and part of our infrastructure in society, it boggles the mind to try to think of ways to secure pedestrians against vehicles in the hands of terrorists. But 576-7710, do you think we'll see any, I was going to say tongue-in-cheek, do you think we'll see any Democratic efforts to ban trucks? Of course not, but this shows us how, in my opinion, one of the things we need to do as we look at the threat of terrorism is we need to figure out what we can do. What can we do to stop terrorists? Can we ban vehicles? Can we secure all pedestrians against trucks? Of course not. So where can we stop them? How about the border? How about not letting Abdul Raza Ali Artan get into the United States by fraudulently claiming he's a refugee in the first place? How about stopping them from entering the country? How about keeping out the bad guys at the port of entry, where we can actually say no to the individual who has a strong, we would have a strong suspicion, may have terrorist ties? And that's where I think the Trump administration is going to be a welcome departure from the Obama administration. And did you know that the refugee program has been accelerated in the final months of the Obama administration, including Somalis like this guy, Artan, the one at Ohio State? Thousands of Somalis and Syrians, refugees, have been allowed into the United States with minimal scrutiny. Now the Obama administration will say, oh, yeah, there's checks. There are checks. The status adjudicators and the people looking at these asylum and refugee claims are looking into their background. I'll tell you this, they are looking in, but they are not looking for very long, and they are not looking very deeply. The get to yes attitude in the Obama administration refugee program is shocking, and it is staggering. The approval is 93%. 93% of refugees applicants are being approved as having valid refugee status and valid refugee claims and getting their green cards and coming into the United States. I don't think that 93% is the accurate number of valid refugee claims. And there are so many people like this guy, Artan, at Ohio State, who were not valid claimants of refugee status and were, in fact, terrorists. 576-7710, what do you think about the terrorism threat posed by trucks, the terrorism threat posed by the vehicular killer at Ohio State a few weeks ago? It's constant. And the place we got to stop them, in my opinion, is at the border. Because you can stop some guns from some buildings if you seal them off and have metal detectors at every single entrance. Yeah, you might be able to do that. But it's pretty hard to create a vehicular-free zone in the United States. You can have some. You can have vehicle barriers. But most Americans are going to be exposed to vehicles constantly. 576-7710. We'll be right back here on KCMO Talk Radio 710. Welcome back to the Chris Kobach Show here on KCMO Talk Radio 710, where the number is 576-7710. You can dial that 913 or 816. But hey, we're in our final segment tonight. If you're just joining us, we're talking about the vehicular terrorist attack in Jerusalem earlier today. And the fact that we are all exposed to those terrorists who use vehicles, because there's no way you're going to car-proof America. There's no car-free zones. I mean, I, you know, there are places where you can't drive vehicles, but to protect us against vehicular attacks, almost impossible. And that means that you need to secure the border, and you need to secure our ports of entry against people like the Ohio State terrorist who was a refugee, and then he got a vehicle and drove into people and killed them in a Islamist terrorist attack. But he could have been stopped from entering the United States in the first place, and then that would have prevented him from getting behind the wheel and killing Americans, or an American. I believe he killed one in a terrorist attack. What do you think? 576-7710. Sarah's back on. Hey, Sarah, what do you think?
Well, I just, you know, Gorka, they could come in a truck, an airplane, a helicopter. I mean, I think we need to focus on what we're going to do to keep them out, and also to prevent the ones who are converted. There are alarming numbers about people who are being converted.
Yeah.
That's another thing. I don't think I can discuss it all in one few sentences.
But there are some things we can do and some things we can't do, and let's do what we can do. And one of those things is be vigilant at the border. Don't hand out refugee status like candy on Halloween. Be careful about whom we deem a refugee, because
we have been fooled many times
by terrorists.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
Go ahead.
It's just been open season. They have no restraint of any kind, because they apparently do not care about our country. They do not care about us. It could be any of us.
Yeah, and that's the scary thing. And that's the scary thing with these vehicular attacks. We are all exposed at one time or another to an attack of that sort.
I know this is, I don't want to get off on this tangent, but I did a lot of research about the trucks coming through during the Bush administration. They wanted to let Mexicans drive their own trucks of any kind. Now, I think that did pass, and they were one of the problems was how dangerous they were. Another issue is when the trucks come in, they were trying to put a customs port up in Kansas City, a Mexican customs port. The trucks would come through and then be checked when they got to Kansas City, which I think we've put a quietus on that some. However, I don't know, because I don't work for the FBI or anything, so I can't check every little fact. But I know this was a fact that they were going to do this, and they did some of it, I think. The problem was, who was in these trucks? What is in these trucks? I mean, they could have a lot of illegal aliens brought in that way. They can have a lot of bombs and munitions brought in that way, not to mention drugs.
Yeah, and we were, and when addressing that issue, the country wasn't even thinking about trucks being used simply as a terrorist weapons themselves. Well, hey, Sarah, I appreciate the second call. I want to quickly get a few more callers in before the end of the show. Thanks for calling again. Next up, Barbara. Barbara, you're on with Chris Kobach. What do you think?
Hi. Thanks for doing your show. I really enjoy it.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. Well, listen, I wanted to ask you about executive orders.
Okay.
And I know that President Obama has made quite a few, and President-elect Trump is not doesn't seem to agree with some of them. The detainees at Guantanamo Bay, I'm just guessing that when they are sent to other countries, there's some kind of financial arrangement that's made. And is there any way that Trump could get them back if he thought that they were dangerous enough?
You know, that's interesting. My guess is that once they're gone, they're gone. And in most of these cases, the foreign countries are, my understanding is most of them are not keeping the detainee under lock and key. In many instances, the detainee is being allowed to walk, and the foreign country is, you know, supposedly trying to keep track of him. But that's a great question. But I haven't seen any reporting or any data on it. But my guess is, in most instances, we can't bring him back. And that's, you know, it's another example of Obama's final, the Obama administration's final jabs that are having a deleterious effect on American security. Well, you know, they're obviously in a hurry to release these people before Trump takes office.
Unbelievable. I remember it was, I think it was the very first thing that he signed when he was in office 8 years ago, was to, you know, close Guantanamo. And he still seems to be working at it. But, I was just wondering, I know that a lot of the decisions were made by executive orders, and I wasn't sure if he could get them back. But
well, some of them can be released. In fact, well, virtually all of them can be reversed. I mean, something like that, you can't actually reverse it entirely by bringing the prisoner back. But, yeah, a lot of the executive orders can be reversed. You know, that, for example, the illegal amnesty that Obama did, not by executive order, but by guidance memorandum, that can be reversed just by a new memorandum. And so there are a lot of things that will turn around.
Now, wasn't that supposed to expire anyway?
No, actually, the amnesty was supposed to just continue indefinitely, giving these 2 and 3 year amnesties to people who claimed that they were eligible. And you know, there were two of them. The first one was supposedly 1.6 million people were eligible, and the second one was about 4 million people. The second one got stopped in court, but the first one's still going. We have hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens now running around with what's called deferred action status, but it's basically a get out of jail free or get out of deportation free card.
Is that the Dreamers?
Yeah, the Dreamers. Anyone who claims that they came into the country before the age of 16 and claims that they're still under the age of 31, and I say claims because the standard of proof is pretty low.
Yeah, sounds like it. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, I appreciate your insight.
All right. Well, thanks for the call, Barbara. All right. Let's go now to Tom. Tom, you're on with Chris Kobach. What do you think?
Well, I've got a real quick comment. It's just interesting to me how diabolical all of this bringing in the refugees is when they specifically, obviously, because of the numbers, exclude Christians who are really the ones being crucified and killed in any way they can over there.
Yeah, it is interesting. If you look at the percentages, the you make a very good point. You know, the
less than 0.5%.
Yeah, you've got it in front of you. Yeah, tiny percentage. And to be sure, there are Islamist attacks against other Muslims who are not sufficiently radical for the terrorists. There are some non-Christian religious groups, but the bottom line is
Christians are the minority.
Yeah, absolutely. And the bottom line is that, look, in order to prove your status as a refugee, you have to show that you have what's called a credible fear of persecution based on your membership in a particular social group. And in this case, we're talking about the social group would be membership in a religion. So many of these terrorists are getting in claiming to be refugees, that they have a fear of persecution, when in fact they are persecutors. They are the ones who are intending to do the violence.
My own thoughts about all of this is the whole thing with bringing these refugees in that could be taken care of over there is to destroy our culture.
You know, I think it's interesting. I think there are so many different motivations at work in this whole problem. You know, I think some it's just bureaucrats who just want to. It's easier to say yes than to say no. Some it's political. Some of it's cultural. But the bottom line is the safety of Americans is at stake in our refugee program.
We don't rank anymore.
What's that?
We don't rank anymore.
Yeah, I guess.
Unless you call it the bottom of the list ranking.
Yeah. Well, I think we're going to see some improvements when the Trump administration takes over. So thank goodness. Thank goodness we are. Well, hey, thanks for the call, Tom. Really appreciate it, calling the Chris Kobach Show. Hey, all right, folks, well, we are in our final bit here. But I want to encourage you to tune in next week because we will be having these confirmation hearings in the next few days. And I don't know how many of you are going to sit through the whole or watch the whole hearing on TV or on your computer. I certainly won't be able to watch them in their entirety, but I will try to keep up with them. And we'll probably do a report on the Chris Kobach Show a week from now on these confirmation hearings. And don't forget to check out the Jeff Sessions hearing, which I believe starts tomorrow. And I think I may talk a little bit about Obama's final acts of mischief. Just think, the next Chris Kobach Show will be the last Chris Kobach Show under an Obama presidency. That sounds pretty good to me. All right, folks, tune in next week, Sunday, 6 to 8 p.m., here on KCMO Talk Radio 710 for the Chris Kobach Show. See you next week.